I also want to thank Lance for his hospitality and warm welcome, and all of you in this church for being with New Hope Housing for the 30 plus years that we've been in existence. There are people in the sanctuary today who were there at that very beginning and have continued to support us as individuals and the church as a community. Hospitality. What does that word conjure up for you? I asked around a little bit this week, and I got words like welcoming, friendliness, private entertaining, the hospitality industry, Marriott, Hilton, Club Med, Martha Stewart, pineapple. Pineapple is one I like, since pineapple is the symbol of hospitality and comes from the days when pineapples were rare and hard to both procure and to keep ripe and fresh all the way from the Caribbean up north. And so when special guests came, a pineapple was put on the table as a sign of welcome and a sign of the specialness. So I guess in some ways, hospitality means specialness. I also checked with the font of all wisdom, Wikipedia, and it says, today's hospitality conjures up images of throwing good parties, gracious hosts entertaining, etiquette, Martha Stewart, or even talk shows, or the hospitality service industry as it relates to the entertainment and tourism business. On the other hand, hospitality used to be, and still is, a serious duty, responsibility, and ethic. The Bible has a lot to say about hospitality. Let me just whip through a few of the thoughts. The first, the most famous, at least for me, and part of my foundation in what I do, is the Genesis story about Abraham and Sarah welcoming the strangers and having a lavish feast only to learn that they were messengers from God, bringing the message to Sarah that she would have a child in her old age. Or there's the story of the widow who offered Elijah a place to stay, a little reluctantly because she didn't think she had enough to get through the drought herself. And lo and behold, instead, through Elijah, God provided her enough food to get through the drought, and her son was brought back to life. Or there's the innkeeper who welcomed Mary and Joseph, not into the inn, but into a stable. Or the parable of the wedding banquet where the host goes to the corners and byways and invites the traveling strangers, the poor, the lame, the maimed, the blind, those who cannot replay, but who saw the significance of an invitation. Or think about the dependency of the early church as it expanded on strangers welcoming the missionaries into their homes for food and shelter and worship services. Or the words of Paul to the Ephesians in today's scripture. Remember that you are separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and with God, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near. I could go on, but I think you get the picture. Strangers are welcomed. People come into relationship with people unlike themselves. Guests bring their host to closer connections with God. And notice how often hospitality is hooked with a meal. But biblical hospitality goes beyond that meal and the physical needs. It goes to recognizing the value of the stranger and the guest. Christine Pohl, who's a professor of Christian social ethics, says, the biblical message is clear. Hospitality is not optional. In fact, it became a distinguishing factor for early Christians, a practice that said Christianity is different. It is inclusive. Through Christ, all of us who were once far away have been brought near. Hospitality is something we as Christians are called to practice, but it's a very specific kind of hospitality. We're called to practice hospitality to strangers, to those who are different from us, to those whom we can expect will make us feel uncomfortable. And in practicing this hospitality, we are promised many blessings, including encounters with the holy. I've owned three houses in my life, and in each house, the key when deciding whether I could purchase it was whether the dining room was big enough. I have a dining room table that extends to 10 feet and comfortably seats 12 and has been known cozily to seat 16 when necessary. It's the centerpiece of my house, and I think it's well used. What happens at my dining room table? Well, hospitality, I hope. Hospitality that you can break into specific tasks. The tasks as I see it are preparation, invitation, welcome, food and drink, relationships, community, and changed lives. But Tony didn't ask me to come here today to talk about my dining room table. He asked me to talk about New Hope Housing. So how do they relate? Well, although we are not a Christian organization, our tagline for many, many years has been hope and hospitality. When you put aside all the grant applications and all the PR materials that describe what we do, that we are the oldest and largest homeless program in Fairfax County, that we serve over 200 people every night, that we operate 6 shelter programs, 5 transitional housing programs, 4 permanent supportive housing programs, we have a life skills program, a children's program, an employment and education program, the list goes on. At our core, we are really about hospitality. We are about welcoming strangers, people who are different from us, people who make us uncomfortable, to our dining room table. So back to the list of what happens at a dining room table. First, the preparation. We prepare. If you spend a day at Monlock House or the Kennedy Shelter, you will find Lavora planning menus, Martha and Jeff gathering food from everywhere and anywhere, faith communities like Wesley, individual donors, gleaners, the food bank, and some we have to buy. AJ and Sandra and Tiny cook with a sense of caring and hominess. There's no better mac and cheese or no better fried chicken than there is in the kitchens of New Hope Housing, I can assure you. As we prepare, we welcome. We say, come in, be our guest, take a break from your journey, be nurtured by what we have to offer. At New Hope Housing, we think we're a little different because we really do invite anyone who is homeless and knocks on our door to come in. We welcome Joe, the ex-offender, who after 20 years in prison for a very violent crime, comes to us and is so excited to be able to go outside at night and see the stars. We welcome Tommy, an autistic, deaf, mute 13-year-old who cannot even ride a tricycle and cannot use the bathroom by himself. We welcome Mary and her 5 children escaping an alcoholic and abusive husband and father. We welcome Jim, who brushes his teeth with Coke and toothpaste and drinks it, and then he washes his clothes by putting them on high heat in the dryer. We welcome a 19-year-old Tanya with 1 baby, pregnant with another, boyfriend in jail, no job, no high school diploma, no supports. We say, if you're homeless, please come in. For those who do accept our invitation, we provide the basics, food and shelter, both figuratively and literally. We provide 3 meals a day, prepared by those loving hands I just described, and we offer a clean and safe place to lay your head. But we offer much more. I had dinner once at the Inn at Little Washington, rightfully famous for its hospitality. My husband asked for scotch. The waiter said, well, what kind would you like? Charlie said, what kind do you have? The waiter said, whatever you want. Think of our services a little like that. If we don't have it, we'll get it for you. We collaborate with our colleagues here along Route 1. We collaborate with the county and anywhere else we have to make it all happen. Generally, I like to think of our services as a buffet. Buffets offer a lot of options, but most of us hopefully don't need or want everything on that buffet table. The same is true for our residents. They choose because not all homeless people are the same, and not all homeless people need everything. Maybe you need help with credit, or budgeting, or employment, or education, or childcare, or substance abuse, or mental health counseling, or medical issues, or some combination of these, or others. Whatever you need, we will get it for you. In the process of getting these services and linking residents, relationships are made between the residents and the staff, and among the residents. And these relationships open doors to further services and deepening understanding. Dan, I'm talking a little bit about Dan as an example of this. He was a statistical demographic of failure. He was a young African-American man, high school dropout, dysfunctional family, a father himself. He was angry, took no responsibility for his situation. Over time, staff convinced Dan to participate in our education and employment programs. Dan said this was the first time he felt anyone cared about him, his education, or his future. Only 2 days after starting a job at a local university, Dan was met at the shelter one night by law enforcement officers with a warrant for his arrest for failure to pay child support. He was searched, handcuffed, and taken to a county jail, where he was destined to stay for months until a court hearing. The only visitor Dan had in jail was Joe, a New Hope Housing staff member. With Joe's advocacy and intervention, Dan was quickly released from jail. Dan's and Joe's relationship obviously became very strong. And with Joe's continued support, encouragement, and professional assistance, Dan today lives in transitional housing, has been promoted to a permanent full-time job with benefits. That's the power of relationships. Relationships are always built, also built among the staff, among the residents. One of the most powerful vehicles for this is our life skills class called Out of Poverty. It's a program of personal change that teaches that poverty is not just economic, it's spiritual, it's physical, it's emotional, and that you can get out of it. In the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks of this class, the residents have to share with each other, and the staff member who's facilitating the class, need to share with each other how they got to where they are. Well, if you don't think some of those stories build some bonds among those residents that last a lifetime, even well past the shelter, as they support each other in getting out of where they've come from. Hospitality is not just about doing good things for people, or even about having everybody get along. And it's certainly not about knowing what's best for the guest. Indeed, the I know best is often what impedes building relationships that initially seem inherently unequal, like that between a staff member and a resident. If we're going to be hospitable in our relationship building, we must offer our guests the room to feel comfortable without assuming what comfortable looks like. So often at New Hope Housing, we think that we know what's best and what's right for the resident. And maybe we're right, but if we try to impose that idea on someone, it will backfire. So we work to give the resident the space to be comfortable and to determine for him or herself what comfortable is. And the answer might surprise us. Remember Jim, the guy who brushed his teeth with Coke and toothpaste and swallowed it? Well, through persistent, yes you can, work of a staff member named Laura, with this extremely paranoid and delusional man who had been arrested over 20 times for his bizarre behavior, she built a relationship. She used spa days to get him to take showers, and he was into Star Trek, so she used incentives around Star Trek to get him to do positive things. 5 years after he came to us, this spring, he testified at the county board hearing about what the importance of funding for homeless programs. I never in my life would have expected that 5 years ago. So you just don't know what can happen. It happened because there was a relationship built and he had the space and the time to become what we wanted to become. From relationships comes community. I often invite my friends from different parts of my life together to a party, and I'm always intrigued to see how community can develop in that short period of time of people sitting together and sharing a meal. I often feel like they've known each other for lots longer once an evening is over. I would submit that where there is true hospitality, there is automatically community. People feel as if they belong. At New Hope Housing, we try to create a space where people feel as if they belong. We strive to create a sense of home, not just a shelter. After all, the word is homelessness, not houselessness. And what is home but a place where you belong? And don't we all want to belong? Listen to the words of the Coke and toothpaste man, Jim. Monlock House is the community-oriented place for people to get out of poverty. It brings comfort to the person and replaces the empty place to make a person feel like he has a family. The person gets used to the idea that having a home and being with other people is okay again. And this happens for the person quickly because the place is community-oriented. When all these pieces come together, lives change. Ex-offender John now lives in his own apartment with a good job in construction. He can go out and look at the stars anytime he wants, and he can turn the lights off anytime he wants, which was one of his big frustrations in prison. Tommy, the autistic teenager, is now in a special ed program where he has learned to ride a bike, uses the bathroom on his own, and has a special computer. He lives with his grandmother in their own apartment. A woman named Anne, a 62-year-old woman who lived in a tent for many years, came to us saying she would only live in a log cabin in the woods. About a year after she left, she left and moved into her own apartment at Mount Vernon Square, hardly a log cabin in the woods, and invited staff for tea. Whatever we do and however we help and support persons we welcome at New Hope Housing, we make sure they know we will be there expressing God's love by showing them we believe they can and will change. Today we all live in a society that is suspicious, even hostile, to those who appear different. Our instinct is to circle the wagons, but our call as Christians is to open our doors, our minds, and most of all, our hearts. We can come up with many excuses to not do this. How many times do we say, I'm too busy, I don't have the energy, I don't know how, fill in the blank, to cook, to make conversation, to prepare a meal, set a table. I spend all day dealing with people. I need a refuge. I don't have anything in common with people who are different. What will we talk about? Can't I just give money? Yes, is the answer to that. You can give money, but not just. Those with whom New Hope Housing works, homeless men, women, and children in Fairfax County, don't need these excuses. They need a place at your dining room table and at mine. To ignore those who do not fit so easily into our comfortable world serves no one's interests and certainly not society's. Moreover, I think it offends God and God's sense of hospitality. Remember those biblical stories? They are not about being cautious, narrow, or safe. They are about being open to the new, to the different, maybe even to the uncomfortable. They are all about welcoming the other and meeting the holy. In the words of Paul Waldell, author and professor of religious studies, Christian hospitality is a matter of welcoming, caring for, and befriending the stranger, the poor and the needy, the homeless and the destitute, the unloved and the unlikable, the weird and the strange. For Christians, hospitality is not an occasional gesture, but a whole way of being. It is not an interruption to our normal way of life, but a habit, a practice, or virtue that ought to consistently characterize our lives. In closing, I want to read you the words of a young New Hope Housing staff member. She writes, "When I came here from the gardens and grandeur of UVA, I remember feeling shocked and appalled by Route 1's lack of beauty and depth. The corridor seemed to me a depressing stretch of road full of takeout heartburn and last chances. And I discovered those two things to be true. But more than that, I found something so shiveringly beautiful that here in this place of dust and sprawl, there was this agency that took people in who no one else wanted to acknowledge were in the world. I found this agency where pedophiles could eat dinner in warmth next to former engineers struggling with mental illness. I found a place where someone could come and try the program 8 times and still come back for a 9th, with everyone's desperate wish that this time something catches. I found a place that celebrates the glory of the individual better than any transcendental poet. A place that challenges presumptions and pretenses and asks surface faith to get real and acknowledge the fact that these are God's people created in his image for a life of splendid love. We are all God's people created in God's image for a life of splendid love. We are all called to open our hearts and our minds to the love in our experiences with the other. Come join us at New Hope Housing or at some other place in practicing radical hospitality, and in so doing, meeting the holy in new ways. You will find a life of abundance in a world of hostility, suspicion, and scarcity. Amen."